during this coronavirus pandemic, we've probably learned new words, or at least come to think of familiar words in a different way. Through our experiences, we probably have a different understanding of lockdown, social distancing, sheltering, or a bubble. I used to think that bubbles were the things that children blew from a kind of soap solution. Do you remember this song? I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. I recently came across a different use of that word bubble. It was used to describe the social environment in which we live, the norms of behaviour that surround us day by day. Now, some weeks ago, I said that life was a matter of continually making decisions. Throughout our lives, moment by moment, we have to make decisions. Some of them are not particularly significant, like what shall I have for breakfast today? But others can map out our future or significantly affect other people. For example, when you get into conversation, the attitude you take, the decision of w on, in words that you use can bring comfort or distress, help or trouble. We're continually making decisions which can affect ourselves and other people. God has given us this freedom. This freedom to make major decisions. But what a responsibility to have to make such life-changing decisions. Since I said that, I've realized that we're not quite as free to make decisions as I thought at that time. There are many things that constrain us. For example, if you're driving a car, in theory, you have a freedom to decide whether you drive on the left or on the right. And yet, because the norm is to drive on the left, it's the law of the land. And for your own safety and security, I think it's advisable to drive on the left. It's as if the decision is almost made for you, it's predetermined. You hardly make a decision. It's made for you. Made for you because of the culture in which we live. Now, cultures can vary considerably from place to place and time to time. This can be seen in the way people greet each other. In the UK, the formal way of greeting is by shaking hands, or at least it was before the pandemic. Now perhaps it's bumping elbows. But in Japan, people bow. In India, they put their hands together and nod their heads. The Inuits, the Eskimos, put noses together. And I'm told that Buddhist monks, which their way of greeting each other is to poke out their tongues. So there are customs vary from place to place and they vary from time to time. If you look back even through dress through history. And we are encouraged, pressurized to comply with the culture of the day. Some years ago, the HSBC Bank put out an advert saying they understood all these different customs, There's different ways of doing things, and therefore they can be trusted to do business in any part of the world. I remember that because my son works for that bank. Now, having bubbles like that can sometimes be good. It can lead to social order. It's as if we can sing from the same hymn sheet. Which reminds me that when I was in the United States, I went to a church where they sang a hymn that with which I was very familiar. I knew the words inside out. So I sang quite loudly, only to find that they had changed the words. Everybody else was singing to different words. It was a bit embarrassing. And I decided it was better to actually to comply, to follow everybody else. Or think of the distress if we had, if footballers played where they each played to their own set of rules, or the referee made the rules up as he went along. That can be chaos. So sometimes having, living within that kind of bubble can be good, but sometimes it can be bad. When the culture is apartheid or racial discrimination or slavery or gang culture. Paul was very well aware of the pressures that people experience due to the environment in which they live. But he came to tell them not about that environment, but about a new way of life, a gospel of new things. And he wrote to the Romans to tell them about this. But he included this in Romans 12 verse 2. But I noticed that this particular verse is translated in many different ways. The NIV version says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The CEV says, "Don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think." A translation that I like, the one in the Message, reads, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God." So Paul gave that advice to the Roman church. He was not condemning Roman culture, although there were many, many reasons why he could have done, but he was telling them about a new and a different way. Now, reactions to our culture can vary. One way is adoption, another toleration, another condemnation, another avoidance to try and set up our own bubble. Another is enrichment to try and improve the existing culture. I can't go into the details of these now, but it might be worthwhile us as individuals and our church to think about how we are responding to the culture and the pressures of culture that we experience. But I must move on and get on to how Jesus responded. In the incarnation, he was born into, and then he lived in, the culture of his day, the bubble of his day. And I think we can better understand the messages he gave, the words that he said, when, if we understand that bubble, a bubble which included the Jews' expectations of the coming of a Messiah, seeing themselves as a chosen race, the friction between Jews and Gentiles, and the way that the religious leaders taught about conforming to the law as they saw it, and the way they viewed sinners. There was so much going on, so many different ways of life that Jesus must have seen around him. In some way, he fitted into the culture, he conformed. We read, he went to the synagogue as was his custom. He celebrated the Passover meal and the Feast of the Tabernacles. But in many ways, he was rebelled. He was rebellious. He came to tell us about a different way of life. Not just fitting in with the culture, but a new and a better way of life. He called it the Kingdom of God. It's amazing that Jesus came to tell us about that, but not just tell us about it, but to invite us to join us. And that applies in all cultures, all generations, all times. It was relevant then, it's relevant now. He was showing us a new and a better way of life. He was inviting us to join the Kingdom of God. That was true then, it's true now. We just have to learn what it is and apply it. I went to a funeral there recently when the minister spoke about life after death, living life outside this bubble of our mortal lives. But we don't have to wait until after death. We can experience that new life now. We don't have to wait. It's open to all of us. Hallelujah.